As we look at today's psalm, you'll notice the psalm is attributed to Ethan, the Ezrahite. Not really a person we would all just know right out of the Bible. But Ethan was the name of a Levite who was a musician. And he was, in fact, mentioned several other places in the Bible. He was mentioned twice in 1 Chronicles and once in 1 Kings. But yet, we really don't know much about him, other than he was a Levite and a musician. But let's read then. And there'll be a couple of times where I'll be reading for quite a while. I'll be reading through the entire psalm. It's a little longer. But the first two verses here. A Maskil of Ethan, the Ezrahite. I will sing of the Lord, Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Now this was a song or a lament that was supposed to be sung to remind the people of God's loyal love and his faithfulness. No matter the hardship, or maybe better yet, it was during times of hardship that this would have been sung, just to remind them that they should sing forever the great love of the Lord, confessing the Lord's faithfulness so that the generations to come will know or be reminded of his faithfulness. It says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. My mouth, I will make your faithfulness known to all generations. Do we believe that God's love is forever? Do we believe that he is faithful? Is this something that we are doing today as followers? Are we testifying of that love? Are we teaching our generations that follow us of his faithfulness? Whether with our own children or with others? Are they hearing these things from us? I hope so. Verses 3 through 5. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Selah. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. The psalmist is reminding the people that would be singing this of the covenant, the promise that was made through David. And there'll be that the promise was that there'd be a permanent king on the throne. But if we remember in the Old Testament and we remember and go back to David's son Solomon, who reigned really well, he was wise. We remember David, we remember Solomon, but then after that, it just kind of starts to fade off on what we remember of the Old Testament. And that's because Israel began falling apart with each successive king after Solomon. A decline in morals and values and a decline in following God. We saw a separation between the country where we had Israel and then we had Judah. And then finally, after a time, they were exiled. They lost their land. This psalm was to remind them of a covenant, to give them hope. To give them hope of something that may have seemed lost. Can you imagine people remembering a time when Israel was great? And they're remembering this while in exile, whether in Babylon or in Persia. This was to remind them of a hope to come. A hope that once again a true king would emerge out of the line of David. For the people knew God was loving and faithful to his word. This was to remind them that God was loving. He was faithful, even though they didn't really understand. See, the people understood that it was their decisions that brought disaster on them. But there was hope of something to come. Now we know that the hope came in the incarnation of Christ. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to take his throne and rule forever. But the people didn't recognize him. You see, Jesus didn't come to rule as the way the people expected. In the psalm, they expected that earthly kingdom and that earthly throne. But Christ came, and he ruled a heavenly kingdom and sits on a heavenly throne. You see, you and I, we can sing of this love and faithfulness because Jesus Christ sits on that throne. We have hope. We have something to praise him for. He is faithful. We can and should praise him. We're told here that even the holy ones, that's angels in heaven, were praising him. We're to praise. Let's read on here. Verses 6 through 14. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surrounded him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You found the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon, sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. As we started that little section, it talked about who can be compared with God. What can be compared? What can God be compared to? Even the heavenly beings known as angels or the holy ones, they are extravagant, yes, but created just the same. They are creations of God, and therefore there is nothing that comes close to comparison. The Lord is mighty and to be greatly feared if living outside his will. If we're living outside of God's will, we should be in fear. If we're living in God's will, we should have reverence for God. He rules everything. Even the seas obey his commands. His enemies are no match for him. They are either scattered or slain. Both heaven and earth are at his command. This is really a wonderful type of poetry that brings in so much, so much. It would have helped the people understand that God has authority over everything. Then we're told of the crushing of Rahab. And if you're curious, this is not Rahab of Jericho that helped the spies. although it's the same word, what is this Rahab? Well, Rahab would have been a mythical beast known by the people at the time of something that represented chaos. And this isn't the only place that this Rahab is mentioned. It's also mentioned in Job, and we're told that Rahab monster we see in Isaiah 51:9. So it would have been understood at the time as something of chaos. Chaos or disasters of the world. And even those are of no match for the greatness of the Lord God Almighty. Yet, in His might, God's faithfulness, it surrounds Him. Righteous and justice are His. We're told that that's the kind of the foundation of His throne. So we know that righteousness and justice are very much a part of who God is. But that's not all. It's love and faithfulness. We're told go out before Him, as if paving the path, as if blazing the trail. Great is He, and great is His love. We know with Jesus Christ that if we choose to follow Him, we receive His forgiveness. We see that love and that faithfulness when we choose to follow Christ. But we need that love, that forgiveness, because of God's justice and righteousness. We're all sinners, and we're all held accountable to what we've done or the sins that we've committed. So there's the justice and righteousness that we have to answer for. But when we follow Christ, we receive the forgiveness. It's a wonderful, wonderful act of love. The next section I'm going to read here is fairly lengthy. I'll just be reading. You can follow along. I'll be reading verses 15 through 37. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim You, who walk in the light of Your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in Your name all day long. They exult in Your righteousness. For You are their glory and strength, and by Your favor You exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Once You spoke in a vision to Your faithful people. You said, I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David, my servant. With My sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely My arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through My name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to Me, You are My Father, My God, the Rock, My Savior. I will also appoint him My firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain My love to him forever, and My covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake My law and do not follow My statutes, if they violate My decrees and fail to keep My commands, I will punish their sin with a rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take My love from him, nor will I ever betray My faithfulness. I will not violate My covenant or alter what My lips have uttered. Once for all I have sworn by My holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever and his throne endure before Me like the sun it will be established forever, like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. Selah. I've already expressed some of this, but there are things that the psalmist knew and we know with the psalmist, and there are some things that the psalmist didn't know that we know. So what was it that the psalmist knew? He knew that in verse 15, he knew that blessed are those who praise the Lord and walk in the light of His presence. We know that. Blessed are those who walk with the Lord. Blessed are those who follow His direction. The psalmist also knew, as we do, that God doesn't lie. If He made a covenant, He keeps it. We know that God keeps His promises and that God is faithful to that promise. What didn't the psalmist know? Well, he didn't know that out of David's line, family line, Jesus would come. He didn't know how Jesus would minister here. He didn't know that he would come to serve rather than be served as a typical king. What did the psalmist not know that we know? That's that Jesus Christ fulfilled the promise that was given in this psalm. We know that Jesus sits on the throne forever and ever. And we also know blessed are those who give praise to Jesus Christ and walk in His ways. You see, this was a promise made long ago. And that promise is still in effect today. God is faithful. That is true. God is just. And if we walk with the wicked instead, there will be punishment. You see, in this particular section, God spoke of disciplining with the rod and with flogging. And then in the days of this psalm, there was great devastation as people were being exiled and it wasn't sure what was going to happen. We're told great devastation will be the result of those who do not follow Him. Let's read on here. But you have rejected, you have spurned, you have been very angry with your anointed one. You have renounced the covenant with your servant and have defiled his crown in the dust. You have broken through all his walls and reduced his strongholds to ruins. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have turned back the hedge of his sword and have not supported him in battle. You have put an end to his splendor and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with a mantle of shame. This is the devastation that these people are seeing. They're seeing of his love and faithfulness, but they're seeing devastation. And they're wondering, the psalmist is wondering, God, when are you going to come through with that covenant? The people forsook God's laws. They didn't follow his statutes. They violated his decrees. And they did not keep his commands. You see, right, this section that we read, the people were living with the consequences of their choices. Consequences to their choices. Some people today may say, I understand that, but we're not under the law. We're not held to the letter of the law as the people were at this time. But my response is, yes, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that we're no longer under the law as it was in this day. But we are held to the character of Jesus Christ. And we know that God doesn't change. With accepting Christ's forgiveness and salvation, we become new. The old is gone. Well, what does it mean to be new? Well, in our newness, we follow in Christ's example. We make it our mission to be more like Christ. And if the choices that we continually make show no heart change, it shows no newness, yes, we make mistakes. We do. That happens. But if in our heart we make no change to be more like Christ, then let me tell you, we will all find ourselves just like this in this section, facing judgment, facing punishment. Now, it may not be in the here and now, but it certainly will be in the hereafter or in the future. Judgment is not a pleasant experience. Countless times I've seen judgments handed down in a courtroom. Countless times I've seen jail sentences handed down to people in the courtroom. For those of you who don't know, I used to be a deputy sheriff, if you're visiting. But it was never a good experience for those people sitting in that judgment seat. Never was it a good experience to be judged. And the psalmist is writing here what it's like, what it feels like. The psalmist understands that they're bearing some of that judgment. The nation as a whole is feeling the rod of God. They're feeling the rod of God because of their apostasy. That is, they turned away from God. They turned away from what they knew was right. And they did what was right in their own eyes. They did what they wanted. Verses 46 through 52. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility you have created all men. What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? Selah. O Lord, where is your former great love, which is your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all the nations, the taunts which your enemies have mocked. O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. The psalmist knows that the nation was in its current condition because it turned away from God. But yet he has hope that God is going to return and make good on the promise that he made. We saw that he fully believed that God was good for his promise, that he was loving and he was faithful. He has hope that promise will prevail in the end, because the promise was forever. He's asking God, when are you going to come through? I know we messed up. And God's timing is not always in our timing. We want things to happen right away. And God's fulfillment of the promise came, but it came later. It came not as what was expected. And although God kept his promise, he remained loving and faithful. He still heard the psalmist's prayers. He still heard those who sung this that were looking for God, and God still loved them. But they were living in the consequence of their choices. Even though the psalmist's position seems bleak, there was a need to repent, and there was hope of a renewed promise. So learning from this psalm, just learning what does this mean for me today? Is this going to change me today? Well, we know first of all that God is loving and faithful, and we have to know that. We also know that there are consequences when we make bad choices. And repentance is important. God is allowing the people to repent from what they were doing then and turning back to the truths of God and turning back to the principles of Jesus Christ is important. Repentance is important. Also learning from this psalm, we can answer a critical question. Does God keep his promises? Well, no, most of the time, if we've been in church any amount of time, we'll say, yeah, God keeps his promises. Well, give me an example. Here's an example of a promise that was made long ago, and we can see it being fulfilled. And first of all, his promise of love and faithfulness that continues. How many times did the people turn away from God and God kept coming back and bringing them back and saving them? Countless times. We see his love and faithfulness is strong. Does God keep his promise about having someone rule forever on the throne? Yes, absolutely. And he did it in the person of Jesus Christ, and he will sit on that throne forever. We have a hope and a future despite our current circumstances. And like the last verse of what I read here says, praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. In all ways, in all times, praise the Lord forever. In all your ways, at all the time, give praise. Especially in the times that you don't feel like it.